23 years ago, when I entered the company of Mary as a young postulant, one of the older fathers sat me down one day, and I figured he was going to give me some advice, and I was going to learn the wisdom of the ages from the older missionary. And he looked at me, he got this twinkle in his eye, and he just said, "Always give them a moving target, kid." And so that's why I'm moving the furniture. How many of you have made an act of consecration to Jesus through Mary according to St. Louis de Montfort? How many have not? How many of you have made some form of act of consecration to Our Lady? Okay. Then let's begin just with some basics, because that word consecration is a tricky word to understand in the modern church, where we tend devotionally to collapse everything into a single meaning. And yet, through the history of the spiritual life, the word consecration, especially with regard to Our Lady, has had a variety of senses and understandings. And since the focus of this retreat will be Father de Montfort's understanding of consecration to Jesus through Mary, we want to begin with being clear what that is and what that is not, and how it relates to the other broader understandings of consecration. For example, it was the custom for generations and generations in France that on the day of a child's first Holy Communion, following the conclusion of Mass, the boy or the girl would go to the Virgin Mary altar in the church, kneel down, and make an act of consecration of himself or herself to Our Lady. It was a real entrustment of himself to Our Lady, but it wasn't an act of total consecration. In the same way, from time to time, parents have prayed prayers of consecration for their children. Pastors have consecrated their parishes to the Virgin Mary. The Holy Father, Pope Pius XII, in the 1950s, consecrated the world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. In none of those cases are we talking about a total consecration. And so then what's the difference? What is the difference? One way of thinking about it is this way. Suppose my friend here, what's your name?
Teresa.
Suppose Teresa here, she hit it big with the lotto. And the $40, $50 million jackpot arrived. Okay, and she needed to decide what to do with her winnings, with this newfound treasure. Okay, one thing she could do, because she may not be an investment banker herself, and she may say, you know, left to my own devices, I may not be able to make this increase. In fact, I might spend it down more quickly and more recklessly than I'd like. I need someone to help me keep it safe. I need someone to help me increase it and preserve it. And so she can go, for example, to a banker, and she can say, here is the sum total of my winnings. I'm giving it to you to watch over for me, to take care of for me, and to see that it increases. Okay? She gives it all into the hands of the banker. But whose money is it? It's hers. Anytime she wants, she can take it back. She decides how it will be spent. When she sits down with her attorney to write her will, she decides how eventually her estate will go to those she cares about, right? A basic form, the most basic form of Marian consecration, like the morning offering, is a consecration of that kind. We say all, but not in a complete or a totalizing sense. We retain ownership of our thoughts, our words, our actions. We want them to be guided, to protect it, to be shaped. We want the goodness that we have to be preserved and brought to an increase. In this sense, a pastor would consecrate his parish to Our Lady. He places all of his parishioners, all the material resources of the parish, under her watchful care. Okay? In this sense, a mother can consecrate her children to the Virgin Mary. She literally does place their lives in her hands to watch over and care for. Okay? However, for Father de Montfort, when he speaks of an act of consecration that he calls total, he means something much different than that. For Father de Montfort, what Teresa would do is she would take the $40 or $50 million she won, give it to the banker, and say, "I give it all to you, and it's now yours. I can't distribute it in my will. I can't direct how to spend it, and I have no claim on it once I sign it over." That's a very, very different act of surrender, right? Because when you do that, what you give away in no small measure is no longer yours. It's what you've given. This is what St. Louis de Montfort speaks about when he speaks about a total consecration to Jesus through Mary. The "I am all yours" takes the "all" very, very seriously. And this is why then for St. Louis de Montfort, this act of consecration can never by definition be made on behalf of anybody else. A mother can't make this act of consecration on behalf of her child because she can't give away ownership of the child's thoughts, intentions, and works. Okay? The same way, even the Holy Father can't make a total consecration on your behalf because he doesn't have that ownership over your intimate internal person. Only an individual who is mature and well prepared can thinkably make such a radical offer of oneself. And so the next point is for Father de Montfort, this kind of consecration to Our Lady is not a step that is made by a beginner in the spiritual life, precisely because of where it has to come from the person. Rather, it is an expression of a certain spiritual stability and spiritual maturity. And it opens the door to a fully lived spirituality that unfolds from it. In fact, 300 years ago in France, St. Louis de Montfort, when he was preaching, rarely, if ever, used the word consecration. Which sounds strange to us today because for many people, when they think of St. Louis de Montfort, we say, "Oh yeah, he's the consecration saint. The 33-day program, I love that." St. Louis de Montfort didn't preach consecration in the way we use the word today. And again, let's back up a second and look at one other way that the word consecration is used today, because this is vitally important to understand what we're getting after this weekend. There are some forms of consecration and ways of speaking about Marian consecration which place a great premium on the idea of safety and protection. The world is dangerous and the world is growing darker. And we want to put on the full armor of God so that we be kept safe in the challenges that lie ahead of us. That is a perfectly fine understanding of consecration to Our Lady. It is not St. Louis de Montfort's. St. Louis de Montfort looks at the same reality of a darkening world, a world that is sin-inflicted, and a world that groans, even when it doesn't know what it's groaning for the presence of the Savior. And St. Louis de Montfort says, that world which is so dark needs the touch of the light of Jesus Christ. That is why we consecrate ourselves. You see the difference there? One is a focus that is much more inward, even static. Keep me safe. That is not bad. But Father de Montfort's is a missionary spirituality. It's a spirituality which seeks to bring the reign of Jesus through Mary into the world. And so looking at that same sin-inflicted, threatening reality, Father de Montfort will say, we don't act first out of fear. We act first out of the desire to bear the touch of Christ, the light of Christ, into that darkness. That's a very, very beautiful, but very, very challenging understanding of what this spirituality really is. And that brings us then to the very heartbeat of St. Louis de Montfort's spirituality. And the vital beating heart of St. Louis de Montfort's spirituality is a radical identification with the person of Jesus Christ. Father de Montfort's spirituality does not begin with Mary. It begins with Jesus. And this is vitally important for us to understand. Father de Montfort builds everything he says under a very ancient but often overlooked understanding of Christian life. Everybody here is a Christian, in fact, right? Good. What is a Christian? You know, isn't it funny? We use that word all the time, don't we? You know, but when was the last time somebody put you on the spot and just said, you're a Christian? What is that? Who are you? What kind of person is a Christian? And don't worry, I won't put you on the spot right now. Maybe tomorrow I will. But you know, it's funny how we kind of get it uncertain when we hear that, don't we? It's I know what it is, but finding the right words for it can be difficult. And when the question is asked and people begin volunteering answers, there's a certain cluster of answers that tend to come out. A Christian is a follower of Jesus. No. A Christian believes in the gospel. No. A Christian is a person of prayer and charity. No. Now, before you all run out the door saying, the crazy priest told us not to follow Jesus, that's not the point I'm making. A Christian is more than those things. Those are all good, essential, and necessary. We have to follow Jesus. We have to believe in the Gospels. We have to be people of prayer and charity. But that's not what makes us Christians. Our Christianity is deeper than that, greater than that, and if you take nothing away from the weekend, take this and stop, okay? Right here, this one point. When we settle for a second best understanding of what it is to be a Christian, at best our living of Christian life will only be second best. If we have a cloudy or a vague or a confused understanding of who we are as Christians, our Christian life will always have a certain cloudy vagueness about it. And that's just the way it is. And so a Christian is nothing less than a person who, by virtue of holy baptism, shares the life of Jesus Christ. That's a bigger thing than just following him, isn't it? It requires following him. It's a bigger thing than just believing, but it requires believing. The very essence of Christian life is that we share and participate in the life of Jesus Christ. That's who we are. And right there, basing himself on that solid truth. And this is why St. Louis de Montfort writes in his book, True Devotion, you can't throw out what I'm saying without throwing out the foundation of Christianity itself. This is where he makes his spiritual home. A Christian shares the life of Jesus Christ. And that sharing that we have in the life of Jesus Christ, well, let me ask you, is it partial or does Jesus share everything? Everything? You're holding out for the best deal you can get, aren't you? That's right. Jesus doesn't have a secret stash that he doesn't share. The Lord shares everything with us. And this is both the greatness and the fundamental problem of Christian spirituality. Christ shares everything with us. That is the greatness and the problem of Christian life. All of the spiritual life in the end comes down to this issue. Jesus shares everything with me, and my heart looks at Jesus and says, Lord, I love the way you receive the children. You're so good with them and so joyful. I want to share that. And Jesus, you always know what to say. You have the right word. You know how to act. You know what to do. You're so wise. I want to share that. Jesus, the healing you bring into the world. Honestly, Lord, I'm broken. I need some of that. Let me share that too. And the things you do, Lord, the way you make such a difference. Oh, I want to share that. But that bit about the cross, could you give that to Teresa instead of me? We do that, don't we? Our sin-inflicted hearts like to pick and choose. We want what's convenient from the Lord, not what's inconvenient from the Lord. Left on our own, we would all be, in a sense, cafeteria Catholics, picking and choosing what is easy and convenient, shying away from the difficult word. And, you know, this is just deep within us. No less a man than St. Augustine got on his knees one day and said, convert me, Lord. Claim me, Lord. Transform me, Lord, tomorrow. Even when we know what we're called to, it is difficult to move toward it. And so one of the fundamental task of spiritual growth is that question. How can I allow the life of Jesus in its fullness to truly claim me and express itself in me and through me? How can I open my life to the life of Jesus? And it's reflecting on this where Father de Montfort realizes something important. He takes seriously again the all. And now note, the first I am all yours is not said by our lips. It is said by Jesus Christ. I am all yours. First point. The original act of consecration is the consecration of Christ. I am all yours. And so for Father de Montfort, this idea of a total surrender begins with Jesus Christ, who gives us himself completely. And Father de Montfort says, he gives me everything. That means he shares who he is with me. Do you know any Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, who's not the Son of God the Father? If you do, you have the wrong Jesus. The one Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, is the Son of God the Father. Does he share that with you? That's why we call ourselves the sons of God. Not just because God made us, but because in saving us, Christ saves us by adopting us into his relationship with his Father. That's remarkable. We call ourselves sons of God in the strong sense of the word. We literally are the brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ because he adopts us into his relationship with his Father. But the same Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is also the Son of Mary. There is no Jesus Christ, Son of God and Savior of the world, who is not the Son of Mary. So if you think you know one, you've got the wrong guy again. Because the only Jesus Christ, Son of God and Savior of the world, is the Son of the Virgin Mary. And he shares everything with us. Guess what that makes you? By virtue of holy baptism, you are a son or daughter of the Virgin Mary. Because you share the life of Jesus Christ. And we have to recognize that. And the Almighty is not big on consultation. He never has been. He doesn't ask us if we like the idea. He doesn't come down and say, what do you think about this? I'm going to give you everything, including my mother. Is that okay with you? He doesn't. The Lord doesn't come and say, I will give you my love, my mercy, my compassion, but I'll let you choose about the cross. He doesn't do that. Our job is to receive what the Lord would give us. Even our separated brothers and sisters who find no place in their spiritual lives for the Virgin Mary, if they in fact share the life of Jesus, whether they know it or not, whether they believe it or not, whether they want it or not, it doesn't change the truth. They're sons and daughters of Mary too. Indifferent children, perhaps, but children all the same. And this is where St. Louis de Montfort grounds his relationship with Our Lady. It is not the Blessed Mother who gives us Jesus. It is Jesus who gives us Mary. Mary is given to the world by Jesus Christ. Mary is given to us by Jesus Christ. Why do we turn to Mary? Jesus is why. If we didn't have the life of Jesus within us, there would be no need to turn to her. And so Father de Montfort says, this here, right here, is the secret to a fully alive Christian life. The more I learn to live as a son or a daughter of Mary, the more I live according to the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Virgin Mary. And so this is not because Mary leads me to Jesus. Jesus gives me Our Lady so that I can deepen my participation in his life. And looking and gazing into this mystery, St. Louis de Montfort, who also knew his Thomas Aquinas very, very well, makes a very important point. Obedience to God is obedience to the way God chooses to save us. Not to the way we wish things were, but to the way God actually works. And so he says, if this is how the Lord will work, then this is a mystery I must submit to. I must surrender to. I must participate in. Regardless of how I want it, the obedience of faith is obedience to the way the Lord actually works. And so looking at this, Father de Montfort said, what is it that I learn gazing at this mystery? And as he looks, he has the words of St. Paul's letter to the Philippians echoing in his heart. In chapter 2 of the letter to the Philippians, verses 5 to 11, St. Paul writes, have within you the same spirit that was in Christ Jesus. But St. Paul is always marvelously particular. You know, the one thing you have to love about St. Paul, even if it can be frustrating and his words are cutting and stinging, is he isn't content to just state a bland generality. He then tells you exactly what he means. Have within you the same spirit that was in Christ Jesus. Now, if I walked into a church and just said, what is the spirit of Jesus? What spirit would that be? Again, you can imagine the answers that would spontaneously come. But St. Paul tells us exactly what the spirit of Jesus is. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not deem equality with God something to be grasped at. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. This is the spirit of Jesus Christ. Being found in human estate. And he became yet more humble, obediently accepting even death, death on a cross. This is the spirit of Jesus Christ, according to St. Paul. And so he says, have within you this spirit, who through his humility and his obedience is exalted after his death and given the name above every other name. But have within you this spirit, St. Paul says. And how does this happen? He empties himself and takes the form of a slave. He does it in no other way. Remember, Thomas Aquinas, the way God actually does it is what we want, not some other way. Jesus Christ doesn't have generic humility. His humility is very specific, very powerful, and very deep. He empties himself and takes the form of a slave in the mystery of the incarnation, in Mary, with Mary, through Mary, by Mary, and no other way. Have within you the same spirit that was in Christ Jesus. And from Mary, he goes forth to bear the cross that saves us. Mary here is the meeting point of these two great movements of the life of Jesus. His self-emptying as he comes from heaven, and his movement to the cross, which will save us. Where do these movements meet? In Mary. In Mary. How does the Lord empty himself? What is the spirit of Jesus? He is the one who lays his glory aside and takes upon himself the livery of our weakness in Mary. This is Jesus Christ. And now just back up again. Catechism 101. Is God perfect? A little doubtful here. Can God do anything? And when God acts, is it always the most perfect, best, and most loving thing? Is Jesus God?
Yes.
You were taught by the sisters, weren't you? Everybody gets an A so far. Okay? Jesus is God, which means whenever Jesus acts, it will always be the most perfect, the most loving, and the most effective thing, right? Because if it wasn't, he wouldn't be God. Let's be really clear about that. He would not be God if he acted in the second best way. He would not be God if he couldn't do what he desired to do. He would not be God if it wasn't the most loving and the most effective and most wise thing to do. He would be less than God. Jesus Christ is God. Isn't that interesting? Because how does he come into the world? Well, the best way, the perfect way, the most effective way, and the most loving way. And her name is Mary. This is what St. Louis de Montfort sees as he looks at Jesus. He begins by asking the question, what is a Christian? But when he realizes we share the life of Christ, he takes his eyes right on Jesus and he doesn't take them off of him. And if Jesus is God, then the way he chooses, he has chosen because it is the perfect way, the best way, the most effective way, and the most loving way. And the way that Jesus Christ gives himself to the world has a name, and her name is Mary. So St. Louis de Montfort says, if that's good enough for Jesus, who am I to say he took the wrong road? Who am I to tell the Lord he could have done it a better way? Who am I to go to the Lord with my advice for the alternate route? My job is to recognize he has shown me the way. And then he says very basically, if I want to meet the king and I know the road he takes, why would I not put my feet on that same road? Because the road the king travels is guarded by the king's soldiers. The road the king travels has him moving to me as I move toward him. It is safe, direct, reliable, and secure. I could take another way, but it will be long, it would be dangerous, and let's be honest, even with a GPS, I would probably get lost. And Mary then is that way that Jesus takes to us. In coming into the world, effectively, he says, I am all yours, and all that I have is yours, O my people, through Mary, who is my mother. I am all yours, all that I have is yours, through Mary, who is my mother. And so, for Jesus Christ, how does he give himself to us? In Mary, with Mary, through Mary, and by Mary. You notice how the pattern of everything St. Louis de Montfort says about consecration to Our Lady sits on the example of Christ himself. Sits in the spirit of Christ himself. Our turning to Mary and giving ourselves to Jesus is the response that recognizes and honors how Jesus Christ comes to us. Because again, how do we receive the fullness of Christ? The only way is to open ourselves fully to him. You know, it's the stupidest trade in the history of the universe. The Lord gives us himself. Then he gets me. Yeah, that's a bad deal. And so fortunately, the Lord is stupid with the holy stupidity of love, which is not stupid at all. It's the excessive foolishness of a love that is very deep, a generosity that can't be understood and that beggars description. He gives everything, and somehow I have to open up my narrow smallness to receive him. And so my response is a weak one, but it's the strongest I have. I am all yours, O my Jesus, and all that I have is yours through Mary, your Holy Mother. This is the essence of consecration for St. Louis de Montfort. We are saved by a total self-giving. And to really receive that gift in its fullness, we must completely surrender ourselves to it and allow it to claim us. It's to be caught up in the life of Jesus and to step into it, in a sense, from the very beginning. As he humbles himself and amazingly becomes dependent on Mary. And then St. Louis de Montfort is going to say, when the Lord surrenders himself to Mary, does she lose any of his divinity? Does the Blessed Mother let his goodness get scuffed up? No. Does she keep a little bit of his grace and mercy for herself that she doesn't share with anyone else? Again, this is the remarkable thing as Father de Montfort looks at this. Who is the Jesus who is Son of Mary? He is still fully divine. He is still infinitely merciful. He is still divinely good, not diminished in any way. He trusts himself completely to her. She receives him completely and shares him completely. And in looking at that, Father de Montfort sees two important things. One, if the Blessed Mother can take care of the treasures of God himself, she can certainly take care of me and my small wealth. But secondly, who is the first one to trust Mary? Jesus. Who is the first one to give himself to Mary? Jesus. Who is the first one to surrender himself into her care? Jesus. And therefore, when we trust Mary, when we surrender ourselves into her care, we are acting according to the Spirit of Jesus. And looking at that, St. Louis de Montfort says again, and who am I to tell the Lord that that's a bad idea? He has given me the way and the model. And so everything in St. Louis de Montfort's spirituality is about recognizing how thoroughly the mystery of Jesus claims us and how it claims us and captures us most powerfully when we can share this act of surrender and self-giving of the Lord himself. I am all thine, and all that I have is thine through Mary, thy Holy Mother. And this act of complete belonging for St. Louis de Montfort is not equal to, but it is begun by, an act of consecration. What he calls the act of total consecration. Because the gift of Jesus was not partial. The response to the gift, likewise, must not be partial. It has to be total. Total consecration for St. Louis de Montfort was never the goal that he called people to. Other prayers of consecration are goals. Prepare yourself for a little bit, make your offer, the Virgin will keep you safe. Okay? St. Louis de Montfort never understood consecration in that static sense when he wrote in this way, because he was speaking about the high point of the spiritual life, which is a radical participation in the life of Jesus that comes when we surrender ourselves to Our Lady. And so for him, the consecration is like a door one passes through. The point is not to get to the door, open the door, and stand in the threshold. The point is to pass through the door to the life that it opens up. What Father de Montfort would call perfect devotion to Our Lady. And so when we speak of living the consecration, we're speaking now about what would happen when we pass through that door of devotion into that fully alive spiritual life that Christ invites us to. Okay? That's the point of the books that many of you have, the Black Book. A couple words about that. That's pre-publication copy. There's going to be typos in there. All right? It doesn't have all the material of the final book. I haven't written all the material yet. Okay? The typeface is not as pretty as we'd like it to be, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it does have 33 days of exercises to go through to deepen one's belonging to our Lord through Our Lady. Over the 4 talks that remain this weekend, we'll cover the high points of the major themes of the book. But tonight, I just want to say a few words to orient ourselves. For St. Louis de Montfort, this act of consecration he equates with the perfection of devotion to Our Lady. Okay? That means he assumes those who prepare themselves to make an act of consecration are already starting with a devotion to Mary. and that that devotion is solid, authentic, and true. And so the first 5 days in the book are a 5-day examination of conscience. St. Louis de Montfort says, genuine devotion to Our Lady has 5 characteristics. And so the first question is, do I really have those 5 characteristics or not? In other words, the book begins with a spiritual benchmark. Have I grown in these characteristics? Am I still missing one or more? Okay, that doesn't mean if you don't have them, put the book down. But it's important just so that we know where we stand with regard to our own spiritual life and our growth in devotion to Our Lady. If you haven't read the book, True Devotion to the Holy Virgin Mary by St. Louis de Montfort, don't even try to do the black book. Okay? Don't even try. You could do it, you could go through it, there would be some small profit in the exercises, but to really have its fullness, there has to at least be familiarity with how St. Louis de Montfort grounds his spirituality. We have to drink from the well. Okay? Second, if you've only just made, like within the last couple days, your act of consecration for the first time, wait at least 6 months before you use a resource like this. Again, you can use it now, but its value will be limited because it assumes that we have some experience trying to live it. What goes wrong? What short circuits me? How have I grown? Because the more of those things that I have, the greater profit a resource like this can produce. But Father de Montfort says this, the very essence of the highest form of devotion to Mary consists in exactly one interior practice. That's nice and easy, isn't it? Just one thing. He suggests a number of external practices. We'll talk about some of those tomorrow to help root and ground this. But the very essence of perfect devotion to Our Lady, and therefore the perfection of participating in the life of Jesus, internally is exactly one thing. And this is the point of the consecration. Okay? The point of the consecration is not to be consecrated. It is to move us in the direction of this one interior disposition. Okay? And that is to do all things through Mary, with Mary, in Mary, and for Mary, so that we will do all things through Jesus, with Jesus, in Jesus, and for Jesus. So after the first 5 days in the book, it's 4 weeks, a week devoted to each of those 4 prepositions. So we can take some time to learn what does it mean to do things through Mary? What does it mean to act with Mary? What on earth could it possibly mean to do things in Mary? And what does it mean when we say we do things for Mary? Okay? But for Father de Montfort, this is the high point. Now, that list of prepositions should sound very familiar, doesn't it? We heard them just a little while ago at the Mass. That is not accidental. That is not accidental. The doxology that concludes the Eucharistic prayer is one of the very high points of the Church's worship of God. That great act of thanksgiving by which the self-giving of Christ is made present on the altar. And that glorious self-giving of Christ is elevated and Almighty God is honored and praised by those who are in its presence and those who will receive it. Father de Montfort knows that. He was a good priest. He knew exactly what he meant when he used those words. He knew exactly what he was doing when he put them in that order. He knew anyone who read his book is going to hear the echo of the Mass. And so note what he says. The very high point for him of the spiritual life is when we become like a living doxology, a living hymn of praise that elevates the self-giving of Christ to the glory of God. Through Mary, with Mary, in Mary, for Mary, so that everything is through Jesus, with Jesus, in Jesus, for Jesus, with the end result being the glorification of Almighty God. What a beautiful understanding of Christian life, isn't it? What a powerful, powerful statement about how the heart can be inflamed, not just with generosity, but a truly celebratory joyfulness, which is the very essence of the praise of God. We're going to wrap up our time tonight in a little bit with some time before the Blessed Sacrament. Commonly, we call that adoration, right? Let's be clear about what adoration is. Because the great spiritual masters, especially those of the French school that Father de Montfort belonged to, had a very, very clear understanding of the very essence of adoration. And adoration is not, first, a loving gaze upon another. Adoration is not a joyful singing of praise. Adoration is not thanksgiving. Adoration is a bowing low before another. Adoration begins with a going down, not a looking up. We go down before we look up. If you think about that for a second, and now we look again at the mystery of Jesus living in Mary. The incarnation is the greatest act of adoration the universe has ever seen. It is Jesus bowing low in adoration of his Father all the way into our humanity. And it happens in Mary. This is why St. Louis de Montfort uses that language of through, with, in, and for. It produces that life of perfect, joy-filled adoration that begins with the bowing low, the laying aside of ourselves in Mary, so that the life of Jesus can truly take hold of us. It's a deep, deep, beautiful truth. And it sits on a very rich biblical mysticism. And St. Louis de Montfort takes his scripture very seriously. But he takes more seriously the Spirit of Christ that comes to us and speaks to us through the scriptures. And he says, and that's what we need to learn to live. And so on the altar tonight, when we bring the Lord out and his presence is enthroned upon the altar, even as we adore him, he is adoring his Father. And we tonight will sit in his presence. And he adores with us, even as we adore him. Our hearts bow low before him, but it's his bowing that lifts up all of our hearts in praise of his Father. It's a marvelous, marvelous secret. But when Christ is present, the other thing that always happens is we are saved. Whenever Jesus is present, God is worshiped, and we are saved. This again is what St. Louis de Montfort saw in Mary. In Jesus living in Mary, God is worshiped and salvation comes to us. Think about that. Where did Jesus first cry out in worship to his Father from earth? From Mary. Where did salvation first touch earth? In Mary. For how many hundreds, even thousands of years, did humanity wait for the Savior? And even Isaiah the prophet didn't know his name. Isn't that a kick in the head? The people of God are waiting for the Savior across the centuries, and no one knows his name. Mary's ear is the first to hear the name Jesus. Mary's heart is the first to treasure it. Mary's lips are the first to say it. When Christ is born and he looks out on the world with human eyes for the first time, he sees the world in seeing Mary. Christ first touches the world in touching Mary. Christ first is received by the world in being received by Mary. Christ is first praised by the world and worshipped by the world in being praised and worshipped by Mary. Christ first extends his fingers to touch the world in touching Mary. Christ first sees the face of the world with a human eye in gazing upon Mary. He sees us in first seeing her. And so for St. Louis de Montfort again, it is only right then, it is only right then that we honor this great mystery with the adoration and submission of our hearts in saying, I am all yours. Amen.